We are in Daniel 7 today. And today's message is called The Kingdom or the Beast Kingdoms. And in Daniel, before we read Daniel, I'll give you some highlights of it. We are now approximately 50 years later from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Okay? Starting chapter 7. 50 years have roughly passed. And a principle that we should all come into contact and embrace wholeheartedly is that Jesus told us that let everything be established by two or more witnesses. And that is a principle that is also in the law, court of law today. They could be false witnesses or whatever, but usually out of the testimony of two or three, the thing is established, whether it's credible or not credible in some of these things. But I'm going to read Daniel 7. We're going to read the whole thing, because basically what it is 50 years later, Nebuchadnezzar's dream has been revealed and interpreted. Daniel now is getting a dream of the same thing 50 years later. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed, and he wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had wings of an eagle. And I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted up on the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, and there which looked like it was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings with those of a bird. These beasts had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. And after that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims, trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. And while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up out from among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And I looked. Thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair on his head was white as wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. The river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words that the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. That other beast had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a short period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority and glory and sovereignty, power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, had trouble in his spirit, and the vision that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him for the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. The beast that had crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know what the ten horns on his head and the other horn that came up, before which three of them fell. That horn that looked most imposing than the others, that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me the explanation. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. Ten horns are ten kings who will come from the kingdom. And after them, this king will arise, different from the early ones. He will subdue three kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppose his saints and try to change the set times and laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times and a half a time. But the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be forever lasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Of course, we can understand that God is speaking to us, and he is confirming that these things are going to happen. He is speaking the language of creation in which Daniel would be able to understand by himself. And the beauty of the Bible is that if you study long enough, the Bible will interpret itself. And so what we have to understand is that we don't have to have a great mind of spiritualness or anything like that. If we study the Word long enough, we will find the answers that confirm what God wants us to understand. It's a matter of revelation. It's a matter of being diligent and studious. But it's also a matter of maturing. And I asked the Lord, you know, why it took 50 years when he already gave it out. And of course, it's a matter of great importance that God wanted to clean Daniel's mind and help him forget about that so that he could then make the impression to himself in that. And many of us through the years have heard teachings about Daniel and all. And all of them are good. All of them have their own elements. But hopefully and humbly I will be able to help bring a little more light to the subject for us so that we understand a little bit better. And as long as we have this chart in front of us, we'll be able to continue to go on. First thing that Daniel does for us is he gives us a point of reference when this thing happens. It's the first year of Belshazzar's reign. Who was Belshazzar? He was the last king of Babylon, roughly 555 BC, or 17 years before the end of the Babylonian Empire. So we know now that Daniel, who's probably in his late 60s, early 70s, is now being spoken to by God. He is preparing Daniel and allowing him to know what is going to come upon the earth. The whole thing is, it is terrifying. He is able to relate to these animals. He's able to understand these things. But when he comes to the fourth beast, he's never seen anything like that. There's nothing in the world that describes this thing for his understanding. And so can you imagine, just like John trying to describe for us the events that are going on in heaven from a mindset of, you know, roughly 2,500 years ago, to describe for our understanding what he saw. And I believe that the elemental things that is in there is that he did not do a good job, but he did the best he could in comprehending things. Okay? His main focus is on this last beast. But let's look at the first beast. You know, in order for us to appreciate how God puts a puzzle together, we have to put all the pieces out there, right? And so in understanding or trying to understand and comprehend what God is doing and where we are in this chronology of end time eschatology, we have to really understand what these kingdoms are and how they relate. And of course, the first one, this lion with the wings of an eagle, it speaks of the Babylonian Empire. But it also speaks of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was really the person who brought the empire into a reality. It has existed almost 70 years. It's almost coming to an end. The kingdom is being passed on to now to Belshazzar, which was his nephew. And Belshazzar really did not appreciate what his uncle had done for him. And so, like anyone, you know, that has any kind of generational type of issue, sometimes we don't appreciate what our forefathers did for us where we're here until we get into a circumstance that's like, I should have been paying attention to that. And really, I believe it's in chapter 4 where Daniel interprets another dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. And it's about this tree and about him going insane. And he goes insane for 7 years. Well, this animal that this is talking about is about Nebuchadnezzar. And the eagle's wings that's torn off is when he finally loses his mind. Because when you see birds or eagles are renowned for their keen eyesight and insight. Spiritually, we're talking about insightfulness. And when those wings are removed out of Scripture, we lose our sanity. Nebuchadnezzar went 7 years insane. He ate and thought he was an animal. And finally, after these 7 years, God restored him. And we see for this picture is the lion finally stands up and is given a heart of a man, which means that his sanity came back and he thought and spoke as one who has regained their sanity. So we can see this very clearly. This is really referring to the Babylonian Empire, preferably or specifically about Nebuchadnezzar, but nevertheless, it's talking about that. Then we come to the bear. The bear is described in Scripture as an awesome, terrifying creature. He is slow, but he is cunning. And he overwhelms his enemies by sheer power. That is what the Medo-Persians did. They didn't come in by stealth and defeat Babylonia. They came in by sheer numbers and destroyed Babylonia. Just the sheer numbers overwhelmed Babylon, and that's what caused the end of that empire. It said that Xerxes, when he was going against the Greeks and at Thermopylae, he had an army of 5 million men. 300 withstood him for a season, of which they said roughly about 100 to 150,000 men died by the hands of 300. Now, of course, that's talking about people who were shipwrecked in boats and stuff and all that. Until Greece was able to amass an army, they eliminated their city-states and they amassed as one. Were they able to come against Xerxes and really destroy and cause them to retreat back across the straits back into Turkey? So what we see here is that this bear talks about these Medo-Persians and their strength and cumbersome, but it also we have a picture of how this bear rises up on one side and has these ribs in its mouth. And what I did was I found out that there was an allegiance between Lydia, Egypt and in Babylon, in which they had formed an allegiance to combat this Medo-Persian army, of which they were crushed and destroyed. Also, listing up on one side was saying that the Medos were stronger than the Persians because of their numbers and because of their mass cruelty that they had in there. Then we see that there's the leopard with four birds' wings and four heads. Of course, this speaks about Alexander the Great and how he conquered the known world in less than 20 years. He had conquered Babylon. He had conquered most of Asia Minor, all the way into India before he died. And these four, again, speak of the four generals that had taken over his empire, of which shortly after that it fell into ruin because of evil and wicked planning. This fourth beast, this one that Daniel looks at for the most part, is one that he is really lost for words in describing. He sees these teeth that have iron, and of course we know that from last week that we're talking about the iron legs of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream, or the Roman Empire. And we know that these are the longest parts of the body, so this empire endured the longest period of time. And it was indescribable. There has never been an empire like the Roman Empire. Never. But it talks about how dreadful this empire was. If you were a Roman citizen, you had tremendous, tremendous privileges under Roman society and Roman law. If you weren't, sat on you. Because they were cruel. They were punishers. They literally pressed you down. And that's where we see in the chart where Christ has come into the world. He was killed during the Roman Empire, but he will come back at the second coming. He will come back when this empire rises again. These ten kings, or where it talks about he saw this great mass. He's talking about the Mediterranean Sea, or the location of where these empires were taking place. And when he talks about the four winds, he talks about the spiritual influence of spirits, good and evil, upon these peoples and during these regions and stuff. And what we see here is that in these last days that this kingdom is going to arise, there is going to be mass confusion. There is going to be so much confusion that it's going to affect your pocketbook. Finances and economies are going to falter. People are not going to be thinking rationally because of the pressure to live according to standards are going to be such, of which no one can do these things. We know that wars are going to be coming. Jesus said that in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be droughts, severe pestilence. All these things are happening before our eyes at this time. And so we can see that this is not just something that's going to happen. It is happening right before our eyes. And it was told to us 2,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, by the Lord Himself to us. And people don't seem to get it. Much the same. The church doesn't seem to get it. The church is on this kick that it is not going to happen on my watch, but I can sing and party and do what I want to do instead of being about Father's business and trying to help people escape this end-time destruction that's going to come upon the land. This kingdom was found to be cruel and ruthless. And in these days that are coming, the cruelty and ruthlessness of mankind is going to be earmarked even more so. Right before our eyes, we're watching sovereign nations be dissolved. We're seeing within our own country that the politicians are throwing out our Constitution and doing what they want. Why? Because there is a spirit that is active in the world today that doesn't care about what God wants. It doesn't care about what you and I want. It only cares to have dominion over God's creation. And that is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist is not just a person, although he will be embodied. Antichrist also is the eco-political system of this world, of which Jesus is going to destroy. It is also, the spirit of Antichrist is within the religious sections of the church, of which the Lord is going to destroy. And we're living in those days now. We're living in those times now. And it is for us, the true believers, to let the word go out. The problem is that it says Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, will wage war against the saints for a time, times, and a half. The interpretation is a time is equal to 1 year. Times is 2 years. Half a time, 6 months. Add them all together, it's 3.5 years that this war is going to be going on. And we're either going to be sold out for the kingdom now while we have the ability to predetermine what we're going to do, or we are going to be caught into this mess and we're going to wonder what's going to happen. How are you going to feel standing there watching your children being put to death for you to renounce Jesus Christ? How are you going to feel losing your job because you're not going to take the mark of the beast? Are you willing to go that extreme? That's what's required of us. For 3.5 years, the spirit of Antichrist is going to be embodied and manifested in this evil, oppressive kingdom. And it's going to affect the world. The whole world is being absorbed. You look at the money system today, and just look at Greece, what is happening in the country of Greece, because it is part of the European Union, thank you. It has become an insolvent nation financially. Its citizens are taxed beyond its ability to pay for the programs that it has earmarked. And so now it needs a bailout. Well, the system is an abomination because there is no system born of man's thinking capacity that can sustain the stuff. Can you continue to spend money without the ability to pay back your creditors? What will happen to you? You will go to jail because you're defrauding people. You have said you will pay back, but you have no intention of paying back. How is it that the countries of this world, the nations of this world, think that they can supersede the basic principles that God has set in motion for us? And yet, we're seeing it right before our eyes. This is Antichrist. He is existing during the times of the saints. I believe he's in the world today, just waiting for his arise to come up. And I really believe that these three kingdoms that he's going to destroy are those who are going to oppose him. And because he's going to meet opposition, he is literally going to destroy these kings. Who they are, I have no idea. But I believe his power is sure. It is demonically manifested. And there's no way that this is not going to happen. He will subdue the three kings and ascend to his power. He will war against the saints of God. They will be given over to his hands during this time. But praise God, Jesus is going to come to the rescue. He will speak tremendous blasphemies. This guy is going to be so charismatic that he can lie straight into your face, tell you a lie And you're going to believe it as it's gospel if you don't know the truth. There are people who believe that we are not in for ruin in this nation, in the church. And I just say, read Daniel. Don't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read Daniel. He's telling you what's happening. The Antichrist desires to replace laws of God that he has set in motion. He doesn't want anything of God's system here. He wants to rule and reign. The spirit of Antichrist wants to rule and reign. And anything that lives godly or calls upon the name of the Most High God will be oppressed, will be persecuted, will be crushed, because we're the only moral agents left in the world. And if the church isn't going to get it right, sad on us. We are the answer to this world. God has chosen the church. And what will be replaced is humanism. No God, just man God. Man is God. There's no divine creator. Man has metamorphosized into his divinity. And it will be realized in Antichrist. The greatest lie that is being perpetrated right now is global warming. These individuals are taking advantage of everyone's fear. And that's how it works. If I can scare you into the kingdom, then everything's good, right? Jesus didn't scare anybody into the kingdom. He told them about the kingdom and then told them to make a decision. I've already decided for myself that I'm not going to believe the propaganda that's coming out of either the left or the right, because they both have their own agendas. I'm going to believe what God says. Okay? I can take that to the bank of heaven, because there's no bank in here that is going to believe what God says. You know? But this stuff is going to happen. This stuff is coming. And Daniel gives us a key that for 3.5 years, it's going to be sheer hell on earth for us as believers. That's why I'm saying you better jettison your tribulation escape mentality for rapture. I don't know when it's going to happen. I just want us to be working in Father's field. If He comes before it happens, praise God. If He comes during the middle, praise God. If He comes at the end, praise God. But for me, let's go through the whole long haul. Let's say at the end. Because you know what? That's what Daniel says. Daniel says at the end that the kingdom will be given when He comes. What can we conclude out of this chapter? 7. That God is sovereign and we are His people. The things that are occurring are but signs to us who believe of how close we are to the end. We are really close. We are really close. And a lot of people aren't paying attention. We see the systematic dismantling of sovereign nations so a one world government can usher in its one world ruler, or the Antichrist. Antichrist spirit is active in the world today. It's opposing, persecuting, and pressuring the saints throughout the world. There are more Christians being murdered around the world than you even have an idea of. There are more Muslims coming to Jesus Christ than are being converted into Islam. Did you know that? And that's the truth. They don't want to tell you that, but it is the truth. We're going to be hated because of our love for Christ. If you don't love Antichrist, you have to love Christ. It's the only options here. You can't love yourself because you yourself doesn't matter anymore. You need to study the Word. How many times have you heard me say, you've got to be in the Word. You've got to know the Word. The Word's got to own your life. You know, it's real imperative that as we see the days growing darker, they're going to take our Bibles away. They're going to do this, saints. And if the Word isn't hidden in your heart, David said, I've hidden your Word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I'm not talking chapter and verse. I'm not chapter and verse type of guy. I really am not. I don't have time to memorize numbers. I have problems just remembering the verse. But it's in my heart. And the Spirit deals with me according to the Word. Put your whole faith and hope in Christ. For He is coming back. That is for sure. Jesus Himself said He was coming back. And when He does, He's bringing judgment on the wicked. And we see that in here, that one like the Son of Man was standing before the Father, and all power and authority and dominion was given to Him over all the world. We saw in Nebuchadnezzar's dream how the stone cut out of a mountain without any human hands came and destroyed the last empire. And from that stone, a mountain grew that encompassed the whole world. His kingdom is coming back. We're all going to go to heaven. And pay attention. We're all going to go to heaven. And not all of us are going to be there when judgment's done, right? But let me give you something else to think about. We're not staying there. We're coming back to a new heaven and a new earth. All that's going to be gone. Because God's had enough of the nonsense. He's going to reveal everything to everyone to see what they could have had. And then He's going to make it better. How can you improve upon perfection? But God's going to do it. Everyone who didn't receive Jesus Christ, everyone who walked in obedience to Jesus Christ, everyone is going to see. And they're going to be put to shame. Because just like the Antichrist, it says he was killed and his body was thrown into the fire. What's the fire? The late great lake of fire. The end. Eternal damnation. Separation from God. Our hope is to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. To rule and reign with Him forever and ever. Not just in the millennium kingdom, you know, although, you know, we're going to judge nations and angels during that time. Of which He's going to set up the kingdom. And we'll have 1,000 years to practice what it means to be a king and a priest. But then He's going to make everything new. He's going to wipe away the tears of our eyes. And we're not going to remember. We're not going to remember those who rejected Christ. We're not going to remember those who hurt us. We're not going to remember every pain and sorrow that we've had to go through. Why? Because it doesn't matter, because we're going to be with Him. And when we look at Him, we're going to be reminded, because we're going to see the scars in His hands and His feet. We're going to see how the spear was put into His side. He's going to remind us of the price He paid to deliver us from the spirit of Antichrist, from the bondage of sin and the fear of death. Our God is a great God. And He loves us tremendously. And some of us don't believe that. And that's okay. What I would encourage you to do is ask God to reveal Himself to you. So that you can experience His presence. Because He exudes love. And when you melt, when your emotions melt away, when all your pains and sorrows melt away, then you will realize for the first time in your life just how much He loves you. just how much He values you. And not only you, but everyone who He knows is going to reject Him. He died for the world. He didn't die just for Nikki. He didn't die just for Amber. He died for the world, that they may have the right to become sons of the Most High God and to inherit a kingdom that will never, ever end. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You, God. I thank You for Daniel. And God, we could have spent a lot more time on this, but for believers, we already know, God. We know of Your great love for us. We know Your great love for the lost, God. And just fill our hearts with more compassion for them, God. Fill our mouths with words, God, that would cause a hunger and a thirst in their lives. God, forgive us for missing those opportunities to share You. Forgive us for those times when we saw real clear to share the good news of Your kingdom. Forgive us of those times, God, that we succumbed to the pressures of an antichrist and religious spirit. Forgive us, God, of our impotence. Father, pour out Your Spirit on us. Cause us to be a generation of lions, God, that we will fear no man, but be afraid of You. Afraid not of You, God, but afraid of what You're capable of doing. That You are able to destroy both the soul and the spirit. God, You are wonderful to us, Lord. You are so gracious to us. That God, I pray that even this moment, this time, God, that we really begin to see that You have presented a second witness just out of this prophet's testimony, God, in line with what Jesus has said. As You said, out of the mouths of two or three, let all things be established. God, let Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. And until that day, God, until that great and awesome time that You come, may we remain faithful to You.